Hear the word of the Lord for our meditation this day. It's actually from another of Paul's epistles, from Ephesians chapter 2, these words. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the parable of the sower that reminds us that you are indeed out sowing seed through your word, through your church, through your sacraments. You are at work through your Holy Spirit in powerful and fantastic ways all around us. Your kingdom is advancing. And Lord, we thank you for that. We also thank you that your word is true in Isaiah 55, where it says, you send it out for a purpose and it does not return void, but accomplishes that for which you sent it. And Lord, in Romans, where you teach us that we are heirs, we are children of God, that is who we are. And in this passage in Ephesians, reminds us that it's not what we do, but it's what you do that matters. But yet you remind us that we are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which you have prepared beforehand for us to walk in them. And so, Lord, as we enjoy this journey of discipleship, help us be mindful of walking in the good works which you have prepared beforehand for us to do. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Mother Teresa said, not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. I always thought that was a good quote. When I was in India, I got to go to her tomb, and I was really surprised by the people there. And I thought, you know, she probably would really like the people who are there praying to her to be out doing good works. It was amazing that she continued to do that. And what she wrote in her journals, which I thought were really interesting, because you hear a lot of quotes from her, but she has like a huge library of writings. And what I loved about it was she was probably a good Lutheran theologian in a lot of ways, because she always starts out with God. God has chosen us. God has put us here. God has done this. God has done that. So many times when you hear the stories of her, you think, well, she must have been all about good works. But when I was reading, it took me a long time to get around the walls and of all these documents, and it was amazing to me how many of the documents talked about, just as St. Paul does, that it's because of who we are as believers in Christ Jesus, as ones who are saved by God's grace. This is really funny because, again, you don't see this side of her when you listen to all the stuff that's out there in the media, but it's really interesting. Who are saved by God's grace, that out of our love for Jesus flows our love for people. Out of our relationship up, our relationship with God, flows our desire to do good works. It isn't good works to appease an angry God. See, when you're working in India like she was, you are very good, at least that's what I experienced, was you're very good at articulating the truth. Because how many people in India, all the people, believe that they're somehow working their way to God? It's the majority of the country. And so you as a Christian are called upon to defend, apologize, I like those words, to the word in Greek is to apologize, right? To make a defense for what you know to be true. And you're called upon to do it regularly because you are a minority. You are few and far between, and so when you're doing good works, you want people to know why you're doing them. And so when we talk about being disciples and talk first about seeking the kingdom that's already advancing, seeking the kingdom that's already out there, and then talk about listening to the Lord and hearing what he has to say for us, what he has given us through his word that's alive and well and working. And then we hear that exhortation to talk with people, to come alongside them, encourage them, be there to support them, lift them up. And then this one, doing good. It would be so easy if this was the first one to think that this is all it's about, is doing good. And yet it's not about doing good. It's about doing what we have been prepared for. What our gift mix is. What God has prepared us. Isn't that what St. Paul says here in Ephesians? If you have your Bibles either on your phones or in the underneath the seats, look at it. Take out your Bibles. Look up Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to do this for Angela's sake. Ephesians is in the New Testament. Two parts of the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. It's in the New Testament. It's one of the epistles, which means that it's after the four Gospels. Then there's Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and Ephesians. Sometimes we rely on our app too much. That's why I'm saying this. Okay? Ephesians chapter 2. Look down to verse 8. Now, in confirmation, this is one of the verses we had to memorize. When I was at confirmation, this verse was in the King James in those days. Oh, wow. Somebody put it up there. Oh, you guys are great. And I remember every time I came in, and this is the King James version, the pastor would say, "What's the verse for today?" And everybody would go, "Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. And then we'd ramble it off. Problem was, when you do it that way, sometimes you don't even think about what you're saying. How many of you have experienced that? Yeah. So let's look at it. Let's dig into it a little bit, because I think when we're talking about doing good, even when it doesn't make sense, we have to understand that like those seeds that go out, as Jesus is talking about the sower, like those seeds that go out, it's not the seed that's the problem. It's the ground that's the problem, right? He sows the seed. Some of it finds rocky soil. Some of it finds soil that's kind of not that deep, right? Springs up, and then when the weather and the sun comes up, you know, it's the soil. But it's not our job to be worried about the soil. Our job is to do what we're prepared to do. And so let's start with there. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. And in order to make this very clear, because I think that's clear enough, right? But in order to make this very clear, because he's dealing with people in Asia who are very much like the people we just talked about that Mother Teresa was working with, that are very much into, I got to work my way to appease an angry God. What does he say again? Not a result of works. Why? So no one can boast, right? Because who is it that saves us? Jesus. Who is it that died for our sins? Who is it that rose again for us? Yeah, get the picture, right? Okay. So then he goes on. He says, so no one may boast, for we are his workmanship. Let's stop there for a second. Let's ponder this. So most of us, at least in my experience, we really dive into the fact that we're saved, right? How many of us really like it and need to hear it over and over again, that we are saved, that we are children of the living God, that we are heirs of eternity, that we have a place in heaven? How many of us? I do. I need to hear it every day. Because Satan is always working on me. He's always working on me. Every time I fail, he's saying, "See, you don't deserve it." Every time I slip up, every time I do something that I don't want to do. We just looked at this last week in Romans. Every time I do something, I know I'm supposed to do it, and I do the wrong thing, he just wants to get there and say, "Are you really an heir? Are you really a child of God? How can you do that if you are? What's the matter with you? Was ist los mit dir?" That's what I hear. Right? And it's amazing, because when we think about this, it's not only about salvation. That's the beginning. But it goes on in verse 10, and I just sometimes think we just don't really think about what this means. That we are his workmanship. Now, I like the word here, because if Paul was talking only to artists, what would he say? If he's talking to a painter, what would he say? You are a masterpiece. Very good. Thank you. Oh, you're the, pardon me? Oh, okay. Well, if that's what works for you. I love you, Angela. She always brings different perspectives to me. Anyways, very good. Yes, you're the brush. Okay. But if you were an artist, it would be all about that you're the masterpiece. You are the amazing, the Mona Lisa. Right? You are it. If you're an engineer, what would this be? This would be your most amazing project coming to completion. If you're a musician, what would this be? Your opus magnus. Yes. Right? If you're a computer programmer, what would this be? No idea. Is that the achievement of... What would this be? This would be the greatest program ever. The greatest application ever. If you're a salesman, what would this be? Your biggest sale ever. The biggest roof, Eugene. I mean, just think about this. He uses this terminology because it's the right term for the context, but just think about this. We are his workmanship. Whose workmanship again? God's workmanship. The God who created everything. The God who created all things, the universe, in perfection. Who are we? We are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, right? If we are his workmanship, then, of course, what are we prepared for? If we were the greatest opus magnus, is that what you said? Magnum opus. Okay, good. If we were that, what would we hope that people who were experiencing us would experience? Great music, right? So what is it? Does it not make sense that if we are God's in Christ workmanship, that we should be producing good works? And it's not only that we have to, I hate to use the word have to, but it's just, it makes sense. If we're God's workmanship, we would be going out there and in love and in his power and with his presence, we would be doing good works. And what I love about this, and I just want to end with this, is which God prepared beforehand. So does he say, okay, guys, you are my magnum opus. You are my masterpiece. You are my best program and application ever. You are my biggest sale. You are this. Now, go out and figure out what to do. You do it on your own. Sounds really hard, doesn't it? It's like you create this program or this application and then there's nothing for it. You've got to go out and somehow figure it out on your own. That's not the truth, is it? What did St. Paul say? He said, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has what? Prepared beforehand. He's prepared beforehand. They're already there. It's already at work. It's already planned. That's why this study we were looking at was called Joining Jesus on His Mission. He's already working. The kingdom is already advancing. The word is already doing what it said in Isaiah 55. What did it say in Isaiah 55 that Tom so graciously read for us this morning? What did it say? His word goes out, does not return void, but what? Accomplishes for what it was, the purpose for what it was sent, right? Isn't that awesome? See, it's all about God. He's created us as his heirs. He's given us everything. He's made us his workmanship. And now he's prepared beforehand the works we're to do. And that's why we're using this translation. This is the English Standard Version. This is what Missouri Synod uses now. And I love it because it is so much better than the NIV. Because look at what it says. That we should what? Walk in them. That is a way better translation. And why? Because it defines for us the fact that there's a path already made. The work is already done. The preparation is already done. What are we asked to do? Go out there and knock on every door and make sure you get as many contacts as possible. No. Probably wouldn't hurt. But that's not what it says, right? It says that he prepared beforehand these good works, and we're just asked to walk in them. Isn't that awesome? That's not the way I memorized it as a confirmand. But that's a better way of putting it, isn't it? Because it's not about us, folks. Satan can't get in there and say, you're too much of a failure. You're going to mess up. You're going to do it wrong. You're not going to make it happen. You are going to fail. And we can look at this and we can say, no way. For I am a child of God. That's what Romans said, right? That's what we heard this morning. God's word, I'm listening to God's word. I'm talking with people. I'm coming alongside of them. And I am his workmanship. I am his child. I am his workmanship. I am not a person who is not gifted, a person who doesn't have a purpose. No, I am God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Are you ready to walk in them? Doesn't sound like it's too hard, does it? Does that really sound too hard? But I have this question for you, and I want to end with this. Why? Why don't we walk in them? Some of us admit that sometimes we don't walk in them. Why? Okay. Yeah. And I want to pose this question. We're going to talk about prayer next week. That's going to be our focus, ministering through prayer. I want to tell you something. I heard someone say some time ago that prayer is, you know, it's not a means of grace. The word and sacraments, that's a means of grace. We've got to keep on focused on those. But prayer is a means of power. And the one who keeps telling us that we shouldn't walk in them because we're not gifted enough, we're not children of God, we're a failure, we just don't have it together, we haven't figured it out, all that stuff, that's Satan. It's time to pray for the Lord to give us the way to help. I'm going to ask you to do this. When you pray in the morning, ask the Lord to give you his eyes and his heart for you. I want you to see yourself in the mirror the way he sees you. I'll tell you, it's life-changing, isn't it? When you see yourself as that workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works that he has prepared beforehand, when you see that you're an heir of God and a child of the living God, does that not change us? It should. So let's walk in them. Let's look at things from God's perspective. Let's spend time in prayer, praying, Lord, give us your eyes, your ears. Give us your perspective on who we are. Amen. All right, I made the announcement.